about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What do you think of the future?
The future is what will happen in the time after the present. Its arrival is considered due to the existence of time and the laws of physics.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Valentine's Day. Masturbation is gonna happen.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. I'm doing so well on my weather reports, especially when it's a bad weather headed your way, like blizzards, hurricanes, rainstorms, and stuff like that. I like to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day of the year 2016. Thank you very much. I'm Frankie McDonald. Valentine's Day 2016. Take care.
Valentine's Day. Masturbation happens.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, everybody, here comes the choo-choo.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
This is for all the Tostitos.
Roll another one.
Hungry like the vagina.
Just like the other one.
I'm not comfortable with this dialogue.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Eggs like my scramble.
Roll.
Entertainment, baby, that's all.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about 10 minutes.
There we go. All right, good sound.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, Kevin, Michael Clark Duncan is going to kick your cracker ass.
And now,
my wife, she says every day is our Valentine's Day. Because I ask her, can we have a good time on Valentine's Day? She said, I'm busy.
Our feature presentation.
I didn't understand that, but I miss Sam.
Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't either, and I don't.
You don't miss him?
Not at all.
A little bit.
Well, I've had a lot of Sam in my life. It's like saying, do you miss pneumonia? You know, once you've experienced it a couple of times in your life, you're like, I got the gist of pneumonia.
But pneumonia is never good or entertaining. That's right. It's always a negative.
That was my point.
No, Sam is.
That was the comparison I was making.
I have never had pneumonia, and I still don't miss Sam. How's that?
Well, you're wrong.
Okay. Kevin, you got a 3-day weekend ahead of you. Why don't you make some plans with your boyfriend? Why don't you give him a call and get together and hang out and spend all the quality Sam time you want all weekend long?
That would be so sweet.
Well, it'd be so fun.
I feel like I would be bogarting Sam then, and I'd like to share him with the world.
No, we're giving him Tuesday.
Yeah.
We're not.
So maybe Tuesday morning.
We're declining.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're saying you would get the whole pizza. We don't feel like any right now, thanks.
Right.
It's all yours.
But you're making the wrong decision, so I'm going to step in for you and make the
allergic
right
to cheese
decision.
Well, have fun. I hope you guys have a great you make a delightful couple, and
yes,
I hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day just for you, Ellie. Today's going to be your daylight savings for me, isn't it? You're going to hear Valentine's Day all day today.
So much.
Why do you hate it?
When people say Valentine's and they're not three, F you.
Kevin, let's make
a
pact.
Worst.
Let's make a pact to only call it Valentine's Day today.
Agreed.
All right, good.
Hate you all.
Hey, we got a great show today, and I mean that sincerely. It's jam-packed. I can't believe how many things we're going to attempt to do on the show today. I feel like we're plate spinners with like 8 in the air today, and there's no way that we catch them all. There's going to be a disaster on today's show because we're attempting too much. But let me get started with this story because I found this fascinating. And out of all the stories that I come to you with and say, man, do I need more information, this one barely scrapes the surface of what happened to this young man. His name is
Edgar. Well, we have a three-day weekend, B. You track him down.
I may do that. Okay. I may do that. His name is Edgar LaTulip. He's a Canadian in Ontario, from the town of Kitchener in Ontario, and he is a troubled young man. He has developmental delays. He functions at the level of a child. At 21 years old, he wandered away from his group home and was never seen again. There was a report of a sighting in 1993, but it was not confirmed, and the police were not able to develop the call any further to find him.
Okay.
So 1986, he's been gone. His mother, Sylvia Wilson, long ago gave up any hope of seeing her son again. In fact, the last time she saw him, he was in the hospital after an attempted suicide attempt.
Wow,
he was very sad. Again, we're talking the 80s here.
Does it get good at any point?
He was released from the hospital and went into a group home that he wandered away from, and it was thought at the time that he had taken a bus to Niagara Falls, and it was thought at the time that he probably threw himself over the falls and successfully committed suicide, and the body was never recovered. All right? So fast forward to last month, a 50-year-old man in nearby St. Catharines suddenly began recalling pieces of his lost identity and remembered his name.
He had amnesia?
Yes, all this time. It is thought, and again, this is one of the details that has not been fully explored in this article, but it is thought that he somehow, on the way from between the bus and Niagara Falls, hit his head and developed amnesia and no longer knew who he was. Now, the biggest question I have is, who took him in and where has he been all this time since 1986? None of that is in this article. None of that. There's nothing here to tell me where he has been for these decades. Pieces of his memory started coming back. He gave his name to a social worker. They did a quick search online and realized that he was, in fact, a missing person. He went to the police station last month for a DNA test, and it was confirmed that he indeed is Edgar LaTulip. How crazy is that?
What?
Decades later, he remembers who he is.
But if you don't know your name and you don't have information, how do you get money? How do you
exactly
get someplace to live?
Like I said, he was developmentally disabled, so it's possible that he wandered into some sort of a public space and they said, oh, this is a guy who needs help, and they called the police and I don't know why it was nearby. I don't know why at that point his picture wasn't on every telephone pole in the province, but they didn't put two and two together that this was a missing person, and he ended up just living another life. Like I said, he's 50 now. He was 21 when he vanished.
Wow.
If he wants to meet his family, he will get that chance. He is being informed that there is a match, and the police say they are now working toward reunification with his family in the near future. But, of course, he has no memory of them whatsoever.
Oh.
So he would be going back to a life that he left behind decades ago, and it would all be new to him. But who knows? Maybe there would be some comfort there. I mean, he certainly would have people who would miss him and love him.
But yeah, it was sad for the parents. That's like a whole nother loss, you know?
Yes.
They didn't have closure for that many years, and now, oh, your son's back. He has no idea who you are.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh. Wow.
In a 2014
it's the worst
interview.
TV show ever, Bean. I don't want to watch it.
In a 2014 interview, his mother said her son's disappearance had left a painful hole in her life that could not be healed. It's always in the back of my mind. Having an answer would mean closure. When Edgar disappeared, I became quite sick. I had to take a leave of absence at work. I was near a nervous breakdown myself.
Wow.
So not knowing what happened to her son obviously was the worst thing ever. And now she gets the opportunity to be reunited. So there is a happy ending here.
No.
I don't know.
How is this not a happy ending? The guy's alive and well.
Right, but
she's essentially meeting a stranger.
Yeah, he doesn't know her.
But she knows him. That's going to make her happy, isn't it? To see her son alive after she's probably dreamt that a million times, that her son would be okay, and now he is?
Yeah, I think knowing that he's alive is one thing. But then knowing that he doesn't recognize or doesn't remember anything. That hurts my
heart. Well, he had that flash that gave him his name back. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe That's seeing true. His mother's face will bring back some of those memories, too. So I am looking forward to a follow-up on this story, and I hope that it ends up having a happy ending.
Well, I'm not watching it.
You're out.
Saying. It's an actual story.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm not going to watch it. Like, I'm not going to binge watch it or anything. So.
Okay, you can't, though. It's happening in real time. Like, they haven't reunited yet. We
We're not
don't
talking
know what's
about, like,
happen.
A TV show or anything that you can binge watch.
Agree to disagree, Kevin.
Okay. Right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Can you do me a favor? Can you try shutting the f*** up?
Not now.
Oh, yeah. Go on?
Go ahead.
Okay. On the program today, we are going to introduce you to Wheeler Walker Jr., and you will not forget it.
Oh, dear God.
Chip's in love.
Chip really is.
It's something that you will not forget, ever. It's Friday, so we have the Movie Beat. We are going to talk to Ray Romano about his new series, Vinyl, that debuts Sunday night.
Can't wait for that.
Can't wait for that.
I'm serious, though.
Same.
Me too.
The writers of Deadpool will be in studio. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, and it's that's a fascinating story, and I can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah,
I cannot
wait. Forever, right?
Looks so good. Empire of the Sun will be in the studio. This is the part where Bean's saying we're trying
too
much.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you.
And Rudy Cisneros will be here.
At some point, you can't close the suitcase if you try to put all of your belongings into it.
Right, so you're saying I have to sit on someone?
We haven't.
Yes.
We haven't learned that yet, but we are going to have to. Yes, I don't know what just was said, but I feel like I'm voting yes. And Rudy will be in studio with his Valentine's Day tips.
Oh, God.
Very excited about that as well. We'll take a break.
Well, Valentine's Day is this weekend, Ellie.
That's right. Sunday is Valentine's Day. That's
Stop
true.
Stop it.
So we'll do all that. We'll take a quick break and come back to the Showbiz Beat next.
Once I had a butthole.
All right.
Oh, that's enough.
All right.
Just once?
Once
he only had it once?
He had it closed.
Oh, no. This guy's got bigger problems than mold and is cold. He should have led with that. He buried the lead. He only had one once.
Why does that piece of audio exist?
Because it's awesome.
Thing. Okay.
Because Omar.
Ask Lucas Graham.
Thanks, DJ Omar Khan. Hey, Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on? Ralph, you hear it's Valentine's Day weekend?
Valentine's. Woo!
Right?
Love some Valentine's.
Valentine's.
Sure.
This is Allie's Daylight Savings. Who knew?
I didn't realize how much fun it was to be on the other side.
Right, see?
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I was concerned about you this morning.
Were you?
Yeah. Not only because of Valentine's Day coming up, but rumors that Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen headed for Splitsville, Daddy-O.
Well, that's been rumored for
a
while.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Yes. Sources.
I'd hate to see it.
Sources. Sources.
Means he's available, though, Allie.
Yeah.
That's right, Allie.
Because I am very similar
okay.
to a multi-billionaire supermodel. Please proceed, Ralph.
You both are multi.
I don't follow so much.
I don't know. You do multiple things. That. You can walk and talk.
Sometimes.
That's multi. Sources tell OK Magazine that Gisele walked out after a recent argument and says that Tom can be cold and angry. What? I've seen him on the sidelines. He never looks like he could be bitchy and yelling at people. Oh, wait a minute. They're both unhappy, according to sources, and are just coexisting for the sake of the children. Things reportedly got rocky.
You, Tom Brady!
Things reportedly got rocky last August when Tom let Ben Affleck's alleged mistress and nanny, Christine Azonian, remember that?
Right.
He was wearing his Super Bowl rings on a private jet.
Yeah.
Don't let another woman finger your rings.
I'm sorry?
That's rule one.
Where do you wear those?
Don't let a woman finger your ring.
Okay.
If you are married. That's a cardinal sin.
Yeah. When there's photographic
sin in this case.
Sure.
Evidence of your husband aiding and abetting in another friend's cheating, that's not good.
It's not ideal.
No.
Leave Tom Brady alone, right?
Right,
I've agreed with him.
Right, Donald J. Hey, it is Valentine's weekend coming up, so you may want to just snuggle up under the covers with the one you love, pop some champagne, and put on a romantic movie. Well, here are your choices. Red Book Magazine. That's a magazine for ladies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They've released their list of the top 10 most romantic movies of all time. Kevin will hate this list because many of them did not come out this weekend.
Well, that is important to me.
Number 10, romantic, Pretty Woman. Oh, what is more romantic than a hooker and a guy who gives her a lot of money to bone her and then gives her a necklace at the end as a special reward?
Yeah, literal.
Not a pearl necklace.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm.
A diamond necklace. It's very romantic. Ghost. Oh, what's more romantic than your dead husband pushing a penny up a wall, right? Who's with me? Say Anything. Eighth on the list. That's pretty romantic. Holding that boombox over his head.
Sure.
It's a good movie.
When Harry Met Sally. I'll have what she's having. The Way We Were was sixth on the list.
Oh.
Robert Redford, Barbara Streisand. That's pretty damn romantic right
so
there.
So good.
Redford has never looked more dreamy, by the way, than in that movie. Oh, he glows. He's luminous. He radiates sex, that Redford.
Hey, I hate to be Kevin here, but any movies from the last 20 years?
Thank you, Bean.
They still make romantic movies, right?
You tell me what's missing. Tell me what's missing.
Free Willy.
Mr. Romance. Free Willy, of course.
Remember yes. when she said, your girl is lovely, Hubble? Oh, it's the best.
Love Story. Classic love story. That's why they call it Love Story. That movie. Dr. Zhivago. Oh! The Ice House, right? The wintry ice. Kevin? Hello? Kevin?
I'm listening.
Hi, buddy.
The Ice House.
Breakfast at Tiffany's. Casablanca. Of all the gin joints in all the world, she had a walk into mine.
The Pink Fruit.
No.
That didn't make number one, although you're right.
Seven Sundays in May.
Another very romantic recent film.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie. You guessed it at number
Eight
one.
8 minutes from death.
8 minutes from death.
Human Centipede.
These are all very romantic films. Nope. However, did not make the number one slot in the list of most romantic movies of all time. The most romantic movie of all time, according to Red Book Magazine and many people in the world.
Puppy Monkey Baby.
Gone with the Wind. Gone with the Wind. Because the
really?
Way he leaves her at the end, says, I don't give a damn. Ah,
right.
Well, what could be more romantic than people who split up over important differences and a civil war? Right? Right.
That's weird.
I don't love that list.
No, either. Not at all.
Stupid, so that, dumb, and absurd.
That list was written in, 1980? And
today.
Then
was put today.
In, put in
classics.
Amber.
Classics. Tell me what's missing. Tell me your romantic movie, Bean. I know you love
romance movies. I think
so.
Love Actually deserves to be on that list, for instance.
It. What about The Holiday?
No! Stop saying that! See, this is why we can't have nice things. Because
what about Titanic? What about Titanic? Would have made a lot more sense on that list
again,
if I were making that
list. Nothing more romantic than watching the woman, the man you love drown, right?
Yeah, but that
gives me a boner.
But a fantastic love story between Jack and Rose while it lasts, though. Very romantic movie. Yeah. And you know what? At least it was made in the 90s.
How about Seven?
Seven. That is a good one.
Oh, there you go.
And it's also perfect for Valentine's weekend because it involves a box. It involves a present.
And
you open up the present, and there's the woman you love. What could be more romantic than seeing the woman you love in a box? It's the perfect gift-giving romantic movie.
I reject Red Book, by the way.
Well, let them know. They might shut their doors. You got to be careful when you fling around influence like that.
Are you positive that's your stance, or do you want to think about it for a while?
No. Look, it sounds like a list for 65-year-old ladies.
Look, these films are all classics. It doesn't matter how old you are.
Red Book's audience, Bean. You just nailed it.
Back in the day, Casablanca was my closer. Shut up, 65-year-old women.
Right.
I'd say, have you ever seen Casablanca? No? Come on over. I'll blow open a bottle of wine. Watch Casablanca. Boom!
Hey, okay, you can't, Ralph, you can't use that
language. No F words.
You've never been able to say. That's the word you've never been able to
what?
Say.
What?
No, you can't say that.
I can't
that.
Say that?
No.
Are you sure?
Ever.
Positive.
Get out the book.
We're telling you, you can't say
let's
it.
Let's look it up in
it's
the book.
It's number one in the book.
Well,
things
I,
not
I
to
would
say.
Like to pull out the book and
I don't
take
know
a look.
Where the book is, but we'll find
I need
it.
To clarify for Allie what would happen at the end of Casablanca.
That was good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Arsenio Hall, 60 years old today.
Ooh. Arsenio Hall is here.
Yes.
Looking good.
Yeah, he is. People love him.
People love him.
Josh Brolin's 48. Jesse Spencer. You knew him, of course, from House. Mm-hmm. And now he's on Chicago Fire. He's 37. Actress Christina Ricci is 36 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Produced by Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, along with the great Martin Scorsese, who directs this Sunday night's episode, Vinyl, on HBO. We'll be talking to one of the stars of that show, our friend Ray Romano, coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock.
Yes. I don't want to talk to you.
First, though, it's Friday morning.
Big star, Martin Scorsese.
That means stop Ralph is here with
it.
The movie beat. Hit it, Steve.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's movie beat. Welcome to my world.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
We got movies.
That's what I'm saying.
Interesting batch this week. Eclectic, I would say. A potpourri, if you will.
I won't.
Of cinematic ventures. Here's what we have to offer in limited release. Touched with Fire. Ow.
Touched with Fire.
Story of two manic depressives who meet in a psychiatric hospital and begin a romance. Ah, Valentine's Day.
I'm sorry, what?
Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
Couldn't
Thank you.
Be a better time than the story of two manic depressives in a psychiatric hospital. Just
holding each other and crying.
Just holding each other and just being all manic and depressed. Here's some clips from the trailer of Touched with Fire.
I'm not sick. I can understand why you'd be here. You look very sick to me. There's no life in your face.
You accidentally checked yourself into a mental institution.
For just one night.
You're not healthy for one another.
I don't think it's such a bad thing to feel life with the deepest emotion.
You have to trust me right now. You can't listen to him. It's an illness. It needs to be treated.
So you mean insanity is love? You have to be crazy to be in love?
Are we a mistake, Carla? Are we a mistake?
Katie Holmes and Luke Kirby star as our star-crossed lovers. Christine Lottie, Griffin Dunn also in the cast. As an aside, listening to that trailer, feeling life with the depth of all true emotion is a huge mistake. Don't do that ever. It's just a monster mistake.
Okay.
Way too painful. Just stay on the surface. You'd be much better off. Where to Invade Next is a new documentary from Michael Moore, legendary documentarian. It's also in limited release this weekend. In order to learn what the U.S. of A. can learn from other nations, Michael playfully invades them.
Playfully invades other nations?
Yeah. You know, he says, oh, okay, I claim this country in the name of America, and then he looks into the country and learns about their cultures and ways and stuff and everything. It's just an interesting way to learn about our neighbors.
And that's a movie?
Yes, it is, Kevin. It's not for you.
Nope.
Because it has to do with information and things.
Facts.
Facts.
You know I don't want information or
real life and stuff that you have no real interest in.
Correct.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Where to Invade Next.
We'll search the world for answers.
This is what American children eat for lunch. It's like an episode of CSI here.
How much debt do you have here being a student?
Do you know what I mean by debt?
Not really.
Debt is when you owe other people a whole lot of money.
No, we don't have it.
We don't have it.
Every kid should have the same opportunity to have education and health care.
3 years ago, gay marriage in the United States was outlawed. Now, law of the land. Really proves anything can happen.
Anything can happen. In America.
I'll see this movie.
Excellent.
Point.
Let us know.
I will see it, too. I think he does some interesting work. How to be single, ladies, right?
Great at it. I have nailed it.
How are you not in this movie,
She's
by the
professional.
Way?
Yeah. I actually was a consultant.
Dakota Johnson, Rebel Wilson, Leslie Mann, and Allison Brie, all star.
Wow, what a cast.
Right? It's about four single women, lonely, lonely, lonely women in New York City who are all lonely and are alone.
Okay.
And they're lonely,
lonely,
lonely.
Are they just
spending
all the time trying to get Adele tickets? Is that what the movie's about?
They just say,
hurtful.
Oh, if I will it into the universe, it will happen, they say in one scene.
No one would ever say that, Ralph.
They say it. Here are the four of them. Teach each other how to learn to be single and also have love in their hearts. And I don't know. I have no idea, but it's a bunch of chicks talking to each other. Here's a scene where Rebel Wilson is telling her friend that she has LTRP. Long-term relationship, and I can't say what the P word is.
Problems.
Okay. No problems. Mm. No.
Another P word that
maybe
we can't say.
Maybe we'll find out in this clip.
You have LTRP.
Oh, my God, I do?
Yeah.
Tom gave it to me. For sure. Wait, what's LTRP?
Long-term relationship. You really need to get that taken care of.
What do you mean? I barely have any hair.
It's like you dropped your hairbrush and your vagina caught it.
I could make dreadlocks with that bush and form a reggae band.
That looks like a whole bowl of petrified curly fries.
It's like Gandalf is staring right at me. No penis shall pass!
See? That was a funny trailer. I'm not going
to
say
it. Women talking to each other about things.
Isn't LTRP also the name of the new Kanye album?
I believe it is. Zoolander 2! You're just talking to Ben Stiller. If you want to have some fun, go online and read the reviews.
Yeah, reviews are for
But these are
suckers.
Really good. There's some really good ones. One calls it an orange mochaccino of unfunniness. I know, that was a good one.
That's pretty good.
A particular good one. I thought it was pretty strong. Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Penelope Cruz, Will Ferrell, they're all back. Derek and Hansel are back, and they're modeling again, and they're caught up in intrigue. It's things that are dangerous, and they will solve it with their... They give a look like that, and things happen in Zoolander 2. Here's some clips from the trailer.
Derek Zoolander, I'm with Interpol. Someone's trying to kill the world's most beautiful people. All of them died with your signature look. Blue steel, right? We need you to infiltrate the world of high fashion.
We're back! But how am I supposed to stop Mugatu?
I'm the Mamba Majamba! I'm the Mamba Majamba!
You're Derek Zoolander. You stopped a Chinese throwing star with a look. Flash me that beautiful Magnum.
Wait, Magnum, now! Oh! You have this! Oh! Yeah! Tequila!
Oh! Keeps throwing things at his face, and he doesn't stop him. He gets hit in the face.
Kevin, there's no chance you don't see this.
Oh, no, none yeah. whatsoever. I'm surprised he's not there now, in line, by himself, waiting for the theater to open.
Here's what I'm going to say. I have a more important movie to see this weekend, sure. which is the next one Ralph's going to
Yeah, about. You
but,
do!
But then I'll probably make some
yeah,
time for
Zoolander,
too. Yeah. He'll probably watch them at the same time, knowing Kevin.
Well, I do like to
Because it doesn't really matter. Just, he doesn't pay attention either. He just absorb it. It's like being in a having a sun lamp oh. turned on. Look, if you're not going to remember anything about it anyway, why
well.
Bother? Why not cut your time in half and just turn them both on and just roll around in it? This is the movie of the weekend, people's Deadpool, Mother Lovers.
Yay!
One of my favorite comic book characters by far because he's just a smartass. He is a funny, acerbic, insulting, wisecracking lunatic who, of course, can't be killed. Which is a plus, because when you tick off as many people as Deadpool does, they all want to kill you. Former Special Forces operative turned mercenary. He has an experiment that leaves him with these accelerated healing powers that keeps him from dying. But, of course, it costs him his face and his looks and his sanity. Ryan Reynolds stars in a role that is perfect for him. Mirena Bakrin is... The love of his life, a hooker with a heart of gold. Don't we love those?
Sure.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Deadpool.
You've recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer.
We can fight this.
What if I told you we can cure you and give you abilities most men only dream of?
I'd say that you sound like an infomercial, but not a good one, like Slap Chop, more shake weighty.
But you still think we're making you a superhero? We're making you a super slave.
Whatever they did to me made my body indestructible. But my face...
Now,
look at me. No, look at it.
No, I don't want to.
Exactly.
Come on, laughs, action,
so
R-rated.
Can't wait.
Superhero movie for another generation. This is outstanding.
And there was a time a few years ago where I felt like people made fun of Ryan Reynolds, but he has grown up and turned into a very funny actor, hasn't he?
Well, he's always been funny. That's why...
Green Lantern, for starters.
Well, Green Lantern was horrible casting. He had no business playing Green Lantern.
Yeah, it seems like now he's the perfect role for the perfect time in his life.
Well, this was always the perfect role for him. And his wisecracking and his smirky attitude and his snark, which failed so miserably in Green Lantern, is perfect for this character. So it's the same Ryan Reynolds. He's just being cast appropriately. And full disclosure, the script was written by two buddies of mine. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who created the Joe Schmo Show. And we'll be talking to them later on in the show about their journey from page to screen. It was not easy to get this movie made, so let's all enjoy it this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Guys, New York City in the 1970s, the epicenter of the music industry with punk rock and then disco and then the rise of hip-hop. What a fascinating era for music fans to see a movie about. And this time it's a 10-episode TV series on HBO debuting this Sunday night. It is called Vinyl. Here's a little bit of what we'll be getting.
I started this company from nothing.
Right, and now we're selling it.
I'm talking about our dreams, man. You don't understand.
Okay, here's what I do understand, Richard. You're high.
Yeah, well, so what? It's a privilege to do this job, to introduce the world to new music, to shape the culture.
Richie, we're going to be bankrupt in a month.
Our future, everything, it's all riding on this company.
I promise I'm going to bring us back.
Let's show people how rock and roll is supposed to make you feel.
Right? Right?
Can't
Produced
wait.
By Mick Jagger and Martin Scorsese, directed by Martin Scorsese this Sunday night, starring the great Bobby Cannavale, Olivia Wilde. We couldn't get any of those people, but we are delighted to welcome Ray Romano back to the Kevin DeBede Show, who also co-stars in Vinyl. Hey, Ray.
That was a nice backhanded intro. All right.
That's Bean's specialty,
like we do. So, Ray, you've done lots of things. You've been acting for a long time. This has to just still be a dream come true, even for a guy who's been making a living as an actor for as long as you have. You get to work with these people on a show like this. Just must be awesome.
You know what? You couldn't be more right, even though you insulted me. I have to give you that. No, it's true. It's true. We filmed 10 episodes, and there were so many times where I would just look at a scene that even if I wasn't in it, I'd go, this is too cool for me. How am I in this show? It's just surreal. You know, the Scorsese's directing, Mick Jagger, I'm having a threesome. It's unbelievable.
What? All right, let's talk about that. How prepared should we be to go blind on that episode night when we see you in a threesome? How much naked Ray Romano is going to be on my TV set?
It's like a car accident. You know what it is. It's like people who don't like watching violence on TV, so you hold your hand up kind of, you know, in front of your eyes. But it's fast. It's very fast.
And by fast, you mean like a second and a half or less?
It's like it would be in real life. It's over before you know it. It's in the background. And, it's quick. I mean, my wife, you know, as quick as it is, somehow I have to distract my wife when that scene comes on. I don't know why.
Yeah.
You have to
set the house on fire. That's the only thing.
Yeah. But it's over quick. And by the way, not as glamorous. And not as, you know, I read the script and I'm like, so stressful. Can't even tell you how stressful it was.
Oh, sure.
Because it's my first time doing we did on Everybody Loves Raymond. We had sex. A sex scene is like you get in bed and you hear a slide whistle. But this is HBO.
We saw you making out with Lauren Graham a little bit on Parenthood, too. You got your feet wet, at least on that show.
Yeah, I got my feet wet. Now I'm jumping in.
All right, exactly.
But let me tell you something. Even with that, it's even making out, it's stressful for an actor. You don't want to. You know, you got to keep telling yourself it's fake. Listen, we're simulating sex. It's not real, but my crotch doesn't know that. He doesn't know that.
Ray, let's talk a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about Martin Scorsese, a guy who is a legend to all of us. How long does it take for you to forget, oh my God, that's the guy that made Raging Bull, and just look at him as, all right, he's my director and we're just working together and we're colleagues and it's cool?
Yeah, well, it helped that he is so, has the energy of like a kid. He's so excited. He so loves it. So he's just enthusiastic, you know. And yes, I'm nervous to talk to anyone who's a genius like that. You know, anyone who's smart, I don't want to talk to because I'm dumb, you know.
Same.
And yes, but someone else said it, that the best acting we did was pretending to know what he was talking about and all the references he made. Because anything you said, he related to a movie. I would talk about, you know. He would talk about Sicily, and I said, oh, I went to Sicily with my wife, and in the morning, the watermelon man came by. You heard him. And he was like, oh, yeah, that's like like a divorced Italian style, 1953. Yeah, he would mention a movie, and then the next morning in your dressing room, the DVD of that movie would be waiting for me there. And that happened three times. And then I'd see him again. I go, hey, thanks for those DVDs. He goes, oh, yeah, sure. Did you watch them? And I realized I got to watch all these movies before so we can talk about them. But that's how he was. He was so enthusiastic, and he let us do our thing. He let us improvise. After a while, it was intimidating, but after a while, it was fun. It was just fun being around him. You know.
Now, you play a record promotion guy, and that could not be that does coke and is just out of your mind. Coke. That could not be further from actual Ray Romano. And Martin Scorsese had never heard of you.
When I auditioned, we sent them a tape. I had to put myself on tape, and the feedback we got was he likes what he saw, and he's never heard of you before. And we were like, well, he never saw the show? She goes, no, never heard of the show. Never. And it's funny because one of the producers says, well, he's never been on an airplane? But it ended up being a blessing, you know. He didn't have Ray Barone in his head. He could see me as this guy. So, you know, it worked out. It was kind of refreshing.
And you did actual cocaine for that tape, for that audition, right?
Actual cocaine and in the sex? No, of course not. We do milk, some milk powder that you, I don't know what, lactate powder, and they put like jelly in the, like a Vaseline in the pipe, so most of it gets stuck in the pipe, but it still gets up there in your nose, and then later on that night you're home eating a donut and it falls out.
But you're able to eat pizza with no problem.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Because it's lactate, and you can then digest the
cheese.
All right, wow.
Allie, the interview killer.
He didn't like it after. I think he was laughing at the fact that you tried to make that work. I think.
We were all having a nice conversation until the girls piped in.
All right, wait.
Go ahead.
We are almost out of time here. Did you meet Mick Jagger at all?
I met him for like 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
He was at a table read, and after the table read, everybody went over there and I shook his hand, but you know, people were pulling him in all different directions. But you know, how many people have met him for 5 seconds?
Yeah, right. Exactly. It's cool.
Yeah.
10 episodes. And is this going to be an ongoing thing, or is this like a one-time 10 episode miniseries, or might there be a second season? Do we know?
No, it's a series. Yeah. It's a series.
Oh, great.
It's supposed to get renewed, and hopefully we start again in May. And, you know, I'm not pitching for more threesomes because my wife is not, you know, my wife keeps telling me, we don't need the money.
Well, it looks amazing. We can't wait to see it this Sunday night at 9 on HBO. It is the premiere of Vinyl. We're so excited, Ray. We're so happy to see that you were in it. And thank you for sharing a little bit of your memories of it, man. We appreciate you coming.
Wow. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I'll be on. We'll talk about it once we see it. After episode 7, we'll talk again.
I'm not sure we will, but we'll talk about that.
Please. All right, guys.
Thank you, Ray. Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 till 7.
If the world were a just place, Wheeler Walker Jr. would be a country music superstar. We'll explain when he joins us in studio coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's Friday. Rob is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, with Valentine's Day in mind.
We found out today that, you know how Bean gets crazy when people say daylight savings? And he corrects him to say saving? Valentine is Allie's...
It's ridiculous. If you're older than 4 and you're using the M instead of the N,
so if you tweet
punch
her
yourself
today,
in your face.
So if you tweet her today or send her an email or whatever, make sure to include that spelling.
A reasonable response, I think.
Thank you.
To a changed consonant.
It's not at all an overreaction, Allie.
No, not at all.
Oh, Bean.
Oh, Bean.
You know what?
How dare you call her out?
This
Good
is,
Lord.
You hey, should know better.
Hey, Mr. Kettle. Meet Miss Pot. Since it is Valentine's Day weekend, it is important for us to take a look at love and its miserable failures. So let's take a look at some breakups, shall we? Okay. Catherine McPhee, well, you know how I feel about her.
Yeah.
You've got the McPhever.
I was patient zero with the McPhever.
That's true. Ralph coined it.
That's true.
It's back on the single scene after 8 years of wedded bliss. She and her husband, Nicholas Kokas, have finally divorced. Divorce is final, and he's walking away with a pretty sweet-ass deal, all I'm saying. Half the money from the song she recorded during their marriage, half of her income from the TV series Smash, another half from the pilot of Scorpion, 50% of her recording contract, and a Jeep Wrangler. Boom! That's the cherry right on the top of the pie, isn't it? What?
We don't have time to get into this discussion, but why are divorce laws in California so unfair?
Yeah, it's pretty honked up.
It's so honked up. He doesn't deserve half of her Smash money. He doesn't deserve half of the money for the songs. That's her and her talent and her ability.
Yes, she earned all of that money, and now he's walking away with some of it. Which just doesn't seem right to me.
But I don't like it.
Plus, not to mention, he got to be married to Catherine McPhee.
Right?
So that was his prize.
She should have paid him.
That's his win.
He should have paid her for that.
Exactly. That's his win right there. He gets to take that away with him. He has that forever. Also, Jordan Sparks, apparently. Ooh, single. She has parted ways from Sage the Gemini. Split is pretty serious. They even deleted photos of one another off their social network accounts. That's how you know it's...
That's real.
It's real. She wrote a cryptic message last month warning her fans not to fall in love with a body or with a face. What else is there? Or with the idea of being in love, she warned. Find the real thing, people. Right? Right.
Yep.
So there you go.
So Allie's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
By avoiding love and all the ugliness there.
Yeah. She wins.
Yeah.
And Liam Neeson makes me laugh. He's a good dude.
He does things to me, too.
Stop it. He was in an interview last week where they asked him what was going on with his love life. And he said, I can't name any names, but I'm dating someone incredibly famous right now. And we're very much in love. And it was very much a joke on his part. But
oh, no. Everybody started
took it seriously. Oh, and then the internet took it seriously. And then the Twitterverse exploded with people saying, oh, I know, it's Kristen Stewart. No, it's Madonna. No, I heard it's Uma Thurman. I heard it's Susan Sarandon. All these crazy guesses where people were speculating on who the person was. And he had to make a second statement where he's saying, I was just joking. So apparently no serious celebrity romance for Liam Neeson.
Mm.
So he's spending available. Valentine's Day alone, which I think is sad.
So hot.
Liam?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's on my top five.
He's got it going on. Well,
what if he had two tickets to Adele and no one to take?
Wow. Wouldn't that be something?
I would. Here's how much I love Liam Neeson. I would go on a hike and a cruise.
No
with Liam
way.
Neeson.
Wow, all right.
Yes.
Because he's got a special set of skills.
Yeah. But murder.
He'd right, protect
but,
me.
He'd protect you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christina Ricci's 36 years old today. Actor Jesse Spencer. He was terrific on House. And now he's on Chicago Fire. He's 37. Actor Josh Brolin. Another one of my favorites. Right now can be seen in Hail Caesar. He's in that film. He's 48 years old. And Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall. Ooh, 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 ooh.
What were we on the red carpet for this, Bean?
I don't recall. I think it was a movie premiere. Maybe an Eddie Murphy movie or something like that.
Because of the red carpet reference.
No, I don't remember specifically which one it was, but I think Arsenio Hall was there because he was friends with one of the stars of the film.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
They sure do. He's never been hotter than he is right now with people's love for him.
Even if they did love him, that's a strange thing to say to the crowd.
Hey, if you love him,
everybody
don't
loves
you forget,
him.
Don't you forget how much you love him.
Now, I know that we have laughed about that clip for many years, partly because that interview took place shortly after his late-night TV show had been canceled, if I recall correctly. So clearly the people didn't love him.
Not so much.
They didn't tune into him if they loved him.
So I don't think, I think that was ill-advised.
Ooh, Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
And that's Bean's version of the dog pound.
Right.
Yes, it is.
On Arsenio Hall's show, he used to have people in times who go, ooh, 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 and they would do the dog pound and the fist pump when he came out.
We played that clip for years before we finally found out that's what Bean was doing.
And so, ooh, ooh, was Bean replicating, ooh, 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 ooh. He thought that was the same as the other thing. He thought those were the same things.
Oh, all right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
They sure do.
God damn it, Bean.
Ooh. You have dogs. You've heard them, right? You know what dogs sound like. They don't sound like horse shack.
I couldn't make that sound. I don't know why.
No, you did it well.
I probably couldn't today.
Maybe try it now.
Try right now. Do the dog pound sound.
Do the dog pound sound.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, it's closer.
Better?
Yeah, much better.
That's only because I just heard you do it like 5 seconds ago.
Try it now.
Ooh.
That's good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's hard for me to know when this is over because it just sort of goes away kind of quietly.
Kind of just evaporates, right?
I don't know what to do about that.
I think it's done now, though.
Okay.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock. Happy Valentine's Day weekend for you, Ellie.
Stop it.
Yesterday was the Yeezy Season 3 event at Madison Square Garden. This was Kanye West unveiling his new album, which he was playing for people for the first time.
How was it?
Don't know. Didn't see it, Kevin. This was a Tidal stream. Tidal is that company, that streaming service company that has a bunch of artists associated with it. And they've been doing a lot of exclusives lately. They had the Rihanna album first. They have the Beyonce single now. So this is where Kanye decided to unveil it. It was at Madison Square Garden. Now, we had the opportunity to tune in. They did live stream the event on the internet. I heard there were a lot of problems with people who were trying to watch it with buffering issues and connection issues. But if you saw any of the Kanye event from Madison Square Garden yesterday, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to call us right now and give us your thoughts on it because there are a lot of crazy things that happened at this event. So 1-800-520-1067. If you could add to the things that I have been reading about the event since it happened. All right.
Because baby, I'm awesome.
He's awesome, right.
Awesome. I'm also awesome, also.
He's awesome, that's correct.
I'm also awesome, y'all know.
One of the, there's some classic lines that I have already heard written about some of the 10 songs that Kanye decided to put on the album. The new album, by the way, I don't know exactly when it'll be available for the rest of us mortals, us non-Tidal subscribers to be able to buy, but it'll be out very soon. It has 10 songs on it. It runs about 40 minutes. By all accounts, it is very, very good. And one of the lines in one of the songs is, I love you like Kanye loves Kanye. And I think that's a great line. Because can you love a person any more than Kanye loves Kanye?
Yeah, but does that mean he actually knows that he's
Who knows with Kanye? But it's a funny line. All right, so he unveiled the album yesterday. He also had a video game launch yesterday where he showed a trailer from a video game that he says he went to San Francisco and worked with people on making a video game. Very few details are available about it, except it does involve his late mother, Donda, riding into heaven on a Pegasus. And at one point you see her in the clouds with angel wings. Okay, that's, and I don't know if you're, again, it's a video game, so I don't know if she's a character in the game and you play her. Is she fighting Satan? I don't understand. There were very few details given, but he did do a video game about his mom. Okay, so that was revealed yesterday. He also did a fashion show yesterday because you know that's his real passion, his clothes. And he... Yeezy Season 3 was in reference to this is his third collection. So he had 100 models on stage. And how would you describe these clothes? They look to me like something you might see in the Hunger Games.
And a lot of them had rips and tears. It's like, okay, I'm going to buy that sweater for probably thousands. It's ripped up. Oh, that looks like a nice pair of sweats.
Yeah.
Everything was just like, really?
It was weird. It was the kind of stuff you would wear to wash your car. I mean, that's really what it looks like. These are the rags you would throw on to wash your car. And by the way, they were selling $90 sweatshirts at Madison Square Garden yesterday with just The Life of Pablo, the name of the album logo on it. They were selling $40 beanies at Madison Square Garden yesterday also. And he had 100 models on stage with him. And I thought this was the most fascinating part of the whole thing is the rules for the models, okay? All the men and women who are up there on stage modeling. These were some of the performance rules that were handed out to the participants, okay?
All right.
Quiet, please. This is a list in order. No whispering, no smiling, no dancing.
Sounds fun.
No singing, no eye contact, no acting, No fast movements. No slow movements.
What?
Come on.
No sharp moves. Just natural movement. Show pride. Hold your position. Stay in character. Now, I want you to keep all of these things in mind as you're standing there as a model on the stage, all the things you are and are not allowed to do.
Okay.
Alternate between attention and ease. No sitting down all at the same time. Do not make the same movements at the same time. If you want to move, you can shift your weight. If you are tired, sit down or lie down, L-Y-E, by the way. Concentrate, focus, do not look at the camera, hold positions until the end of the show. Now, wait, are you supposed to hold your positions or are you supposed to sit down or lie down
yeah.
if you're tired?
What if I'm tired?
I feel like if you told me, make a set of rules so that people have no idea how to act, this would be it.
Do not take off your clothes or shoes. Loosen up, no stiffness. Do not be casual. How do you not be casual, by the way?
You just told me that I could.
Right. Stand straight. No sexy posing. Do not act cool. Yeah, right. You can't help it.
Don't act cool. I'm out.
Do not act cool. You are a picture is one of the rules. You are a picture. Be calm. Be strong. Be neutral. Behave as if no one was in the room.
Oh, geez.
Do not break the rules. Know that your actions reflect within the group. This is all a list that was handed out to everybody. Your behavior affects the conduct of others. Be aware of others and be precautious. I don't know what precautious means.
Can you imagine what those models had to go through for this?
And it just goes on and on and on. Keep your assigned position on the floor. Do not ever look at the jumbotron. I mean, it's insane. And these models are just standing there wearing these rags. And I have no idea what was going through their minds. But, I mean, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of people there. By the way, let's take a couple of calls on this while we're doing it. Let's go to – let's start with Abel, please, in Diamond Bar Line 2. And, by the way, all of his family was there just dripping with diamonds and furs, all of the Kardashian girls. Lamar Odom was there for his first public appearance,
since
he got out of the hospital.
One good thing. That's the first good thing that you've mentioned this whole time.
Lamar was there, exactly. Yep. Abel, thank you so much for calling. You watched the Yeezy event yesterday?
Yeah, what's going on? Good MB.
Hi there.
What's going on? Yeah, I saw the event yesterday. It was pretty awesome, actually.
What was awesome about it? Because it sounded like the craziest thing that's ever been seen.
Yeah, okay, actually, it wasn't awesome at all. it was kind of strange. It was like the Hunger Games meets the future meets, like, right now. Right. I don't know.
We can't understand you with your phone, Abel. I'm so sorry to say that. Let's go to Rob. He's in Riverside. He's on line 3. He's up next.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How's it going?
Good, thank you. What'd you think of Yeezy yesterday?
It's crap. first of all, I couldn't see it because, and I don't know if it was to blame for the streaming services or maybe it was my computer, but it was like Y2K all over again. I don't know what was going on, but I don't like Kanye at all.
Right.
I don't like anything that he does.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there was a time in 2004 that he was good when he first started coming out.
So you looked at this like a car accident, basically.
But basically, anything he does from now on is just crap.
Okay. Wow. Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I still enjoy some of his music, but he is a master showman. I mean, look at all the attention he got from this yesterday. Thank you, Rob, for calling. And by the way, we don't really even have time to get into this. Maybe we can talk about it later. But one of the lines on the album that got the most attention was, I feel like me and Taylor, he's talking about Taylor Swift here, I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. Now, there has been a lot of blowback from people about that because Taylor Swift, obviously, by the time that thing happened on stage at the MTV Awards, had already sold millions of records. She'd already won a bunch of Grammys. Kanye is on a tear this morning talking about how I did not diss Taylor Swift. I have never dissed her. First thing is I'm an artist, and as an artist, I will express how I feel with no censorship. He also says that bitch is an enduring term in hip-hop, like the N-word.
Okay,
so
Kanye.
It's a compliment, is what he's saying.
My favorite part of that was you wading into that in between Kanye and Taylor Swift. Bean, is it getting involved in the argument?
Well, look.
Well, he's
Twitter.
Sticking up for his lady.
It's an absurd thing to say, of course. But it's also how genius of Kanye to say the thing that he knows. I mean, look, that was a major pop culture event that defined in many people's eyes Kanye West. And it's just started to heal over, and he's picking at the scab again, which is brilliant for him. I mean, that's what he does, is he antagonizes. Look, I knew I was being played. I knew I was falling into his trap.
You just couldn't help it.
I just couldn't help myself. That's the power of Kanye.
It's weird. I could. I had zero interest. Don't care that we're talking about it now. Don't care at all.
Same.
He is, to use his word, a very frustrating artist. Frustrating is the word he uses.
No, he
is. But I still can't wait to buy his owl. I mean, I think I've been brainwashed. I think I'm Team Kanye here.
We lost Bean. Tell us how the album is, and then maybe we'll pick it up. Maybe not.
Probably not.
Look, we don't talk about a lot of country music on the Kevin and Bean Show,
right,
for obvious reasons. But there is a young man in country music who has created a sensation lately. He is turning Nashville upside down with what is being called the filthiest country album ever recorded. Now you've got my attention. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the great Wheeler Walker Jr. to the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Happy to be here. How is everyone? I just flew in from Nashville. And
very
I'm
good.
And I'm tired.
Yeah. I saw your tweet last night. You're like, L.A., what a place. I mean, you don't get to the big city very often, I imagine, right?
No, and it sounds like I'm in the best part of it right now, right?
A Culver City, yeah.
Yeah.
It is beautiful.
This is where Rodeo Drive is.
Very close.
That's right. Yes, that's us. We're the garden spot of all of Southern California. So, Wheeler, a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with your name, but you've got a long history in country music, and I don't mean this in an offensive way. Much of it very unsuccessful, right?
Well, I would say – I think none is kind of pushing – I would say all of it very unsuccessful.
You've been dropped by every label in Nashville.
I was dropped by every label. They never even put the albums out because I got kind of a – I mean, right here, I'm a nice guy. I like you guys. I'm calm, but
so far,
well, yeah. Well, just wait, wait till you hear some music. I have a temper.
Okay.
And then, so let's say a label, you know, doesn't like what I'm doing. Instead of compromising and talking to them,
right,
I may take their wife out to dinner and do something with said.
Well, that doesn't seem like that's going to help your career at all.
No, that's why it took me 15 years to get an album out.
So you finally made the album you've always wanted to make. You essentially independently released it, and these are the songs that your fans love you for, but you'll never get them played on the radio. And tell me how you process that in your mind in terms of trying to get people to hear your music, but also making music intentionally that can't be played on the air.
Well, I was just so upset at the time, and I just wanted to make an album the way I wanted to make it. So I went there. You guys know this guy Chris Stapleton, right?
Of course, favorites.
Yeah, legendary.
So his producer, I met him, and we came fast buds, and he's like, come on in here.
This is Dave Cobb?
Dave Cobb.
Who's done Jason Isbell. Who else?
Sturgill Simpson. Yeah.
Like the three great producer people right now.
Yeah, and I, those guys introduced me to Dave, and Dave's like, come on in here and do the album the way you want to do it. And I went in there, and I knocked it out, and so I wasn't thinking about – because you got to realize how dumb I am. I wasn't thinking like, oh, yeah, you got to promote this on the radio.
Well, I mean, for example, we can't say the name of the album.
You can't say the name of the album.
Right.
I'm back there trying to figure out, like, put it this way. I might be singing about getting my toes sucked in 2 seconds.
Well, you're going to. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But
which are not the actual lyrics.
No.
No.
It's just kind of weird that way. But, yeah, it's a I wish I was smart enough to think ahead, but my thought was no one was going to listen to it. And no one was going to pay attention, and I wake up this morning.
It's a genius album.
Thank you so much.
It is genius. And by the way, one of the smartest things, Wheeler Walker Jr., a guest here on the Kevin Beach, one of the smartest things I saw you say in an interview recently, Wheeler, is somebody made the suggestion to you, hey, why don't you clean up the language? And then you said, you know what? Country radio is not going to play this anyway. It's too traditional. I mean, there's no room for people who are making old style music like yours on modern country radio.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was in the studio and I was like, for like a split second, I was like, you know what? If I took all – I go, it's kind of a shame because it's so catchy that what if I took all the nasty words out?
Yeah.
I bet we'd get it played on the radio. And the producer and the session musicians in Nashville, they look back at me and they go, do you understand what this is? This is country music. They don't play country music on country radio.
I don't even know what that means.
They don't –
because it's now so bro country and it's
broken.
So
it's
Georgia country. Line.
It's Sam Hunt and Florida Georgia line. It's basically Milli Vanilli with a twang. So I'm not going to get played anyway.
Right.
So why not just
do
go for it? I mean, I don't think they thought I was going to go for it as much as I did.
So the album is called Redneck Crap with the S word that we can't say, but Redneck S word.
And you're going to perform? You have your guitar?
Yeah, I know you guys get fined for
a lot
for the bad words. So mm-hmm. I'm like, my heart's racing because I love this place and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to spend my whole. If the album sells like it's been like we think it's going to sell, I don't want to give all the money to the guy pressing the button. You know.
Yeah.
It's me. No, understood. Believe me, we're in mortal fear as well. Yeah. We're taking a chance here today,
but
so we appreciate you keeping it clean.
Thank you so much. Well, you know what? That's when music was good, right? When it was dangerous.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Redneck S, country's filthiest new album, says Rolling Stone magazine. Available everywhere today, by the way. WheelerWalkerJr.com. A quick break, and we return with our guest right after this on K-Rock.
Yeah, whatever with that music.
Right?
Kevin, I've never seen you so excited about country music before until Wheeler Walker Jr. stepped in.
I didn't like country music until today.
Well, that's because you haven't been hearing real country, because what's on country radio doesn't count. Wheeler Walker Jr. is bringing the authenticity back with the filthiest new record of the year. It is called Redneck S. It is available now for sale wherever records are sold. Wheeler, how is it doing so far? It's up on iTunes and everywhere now. What's it looking like?
We checked earlier this morning. By the way, it's the earliest I think I've ever been up in my life.
Yes,
sir. And this is not a joke. So I just checked the iTunes country charts. We're number 3.
Come on!
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Suck it, Luke Bryan.
And number 4, and two, Vince Gill and Winona Judd both come out today. And
so you're ahead of both of them?
Wow.
Yeah. And
congratulations.
Some record execs got some explaining to do to Winona this afternoon.
Right.
Yes, she ain't gonna be. I got in a Twitter war with Winona. Did I tell you that?
Oh, you got in a Twitter war. No.
No, she said you need to keep that language, you know. When she wants to say something like that, she goes out into the woods and yells it.
Okay.
Right. And I said, when I do it, I go up to a microphone.
Yeah, you just say it.
Sing it. Like, and you sing it, right? You know, I'm one of the old school guys who likes to sing what I feel,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. instead of letting the real emotions go out in the woods and
right.
singing a bunch of...
Where no one can appreciate it.
Exactly. Well, okay. I'm Winona, sorry. I mean, I hate to go after a fellow Kentuckian, but... My joke at the show I played the other night, my joke was I put her on the list plus one. Hopefully she didn't want to bring a friend.
The first single from your EP before the album came out today, Wheeler, was called F You Bitch. Is this written about anyone in particular, or is this the... love ladies, though, right?
You're not
a misogynist, right?
Not at all. I mean, the whole point of the album is that I'm the butt of the joke. I mean, all these women that I sing about who dump me... It's all my fault.
Yeah, they were right.
They were right. They did the right. They made the right choice. Like, I'm in here for 3 minutes. You guys are already sick of me. Like, who wants to hang out with me? Like, I feel bad for them.
Well, here's what I know. I know that we told you that we couldn't play the song as you sing it because of the rules. So you brought in a clean version.
A
radio edit to take out the words, which we then had to give to Omar and have him re-edit
more of it. The funniest thing I've ever heard. My album's so dirty, you gotta bleep the clean version.
Yes.
There's a sticker right there.
All right. Did you find at least a small piece of it, Kevin, that
we can play
the single? Okay, let's hear some of that.
Say we're done. You packed up your stuff. It's really over. Said you've had enough. There's one thing I'd like to say before you leave. You. Tearing us apart. Your dog. Hope he never comes home.
Hated that dog.
You bitch. Hope you wind up alone.
So that's pretty much all.
That is beautiful.
Sounds pretty, though, right?
It's beautiful.
It's very pretty, and it's perfect for Valentine's Day weekend,
well,
isn't it, Allie?
We Allie.
It drives Allie crazy when we say Valentine's. With an M. So
Valentine's
that's
Day.
What we're doing.
But
all
we've definitely planned it out so this album would be out for Valentine's.
It is beautiful.
Valentine. All right, Wheeler, you are not just a creation of the studio. You can bring it live. We have time before we say goodbye, sir, for a little bit. We can't help but notice you got your guitar with you. Could you sing a little something for us as we
say
goodbye?
Well, like I said, I'm on pins and needles here trying to figure out what's... I'm going to sing...
Do your best. I got the delay.
I'm going to sing a little bit of a song called Beer, Weed, Cooches, which are my three favorite things.
Okay.
And we're going to sing... I'm going to get my toes sucked in this song, that's not what happens in the actual song. Okay. We'll see what happens.
All right.
And if you don't hear me at the end of this, it means security took me.
Okay. All right. The great Wheeler Walker Jr. now performing live on the Kevin Beach.
Friday night, friends at the bar, outside, hot box in the car. Heard the violin, steel guitar, so we found our way to the song. Inside, group of hot girls, locked eyes with a cute squirrel. Band swinging, begging for a twirl, so we danced all night to the song. Beer, weed, cooches, honky-tonk music, you know, night long. Drunk, getting my toes sucking on, night long. Took a break, headed outside, past the joint, cause girls got high, my squirrel, blood. No, I can't say that either. All my song. Me and her. I mean, I think there's nothing. Beer, weed, cooches,
alcohol.
You got, that's impossible.
Yeah, it's not possible.
We get
to
the gist. We get the idea. Well, you what?
You understand that?
You were working hard, though. I appreciate that.
That's honestly like
I appreciate that.
That's harder than any test I ever took in school.
Yeah, we could almost hear the gears grinding in your brain there.
And they're grinding slow, but faster than normal.
Hear the uncensored version of that and all the other great songs on his album. Finally available today. It is called Redneck S, and it is available on iTunes and WheelerWalkerJr.com. A pleasure to meet you, sir. Good luck in your fight against the industry.
Thanks so much, and I appreciate you letting me on here and helping me bring that fight.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54.
Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, the writers of the Deadpool movie in theaters today, join us in the 9 o'clock hour here on K-Rock. And coming up just after 8, in about 10 minutes from right now, our old friend Rudy Cisneros stops by. He's got some tips for you and your girlfriend or boyfriend, husband or wife, for Valentine's Day weekend. That's on the way from K-Rock. First, though, here's Ralph with the showbiz.
Speaking of Deadpool, numbers are just in for last night's sneak, the preview, Thursday night opening for Deadpool. Just broke the R-rated record.
Is that right?
For a Thursday night opening, yeah.
Nice.
So it's, I think it made it, I don't know, upwards of 15 mil, I think, last night.
All right.
On pace for a monster weekend. So
yeah, they're talking about like what, like 70 million or something maybe this weekend?
It's going to crush. So I could not be happy.
Good for them.
For the boys. Looking forward to seeing them when they come in later on the show. Here's your update on your Kanye Bean beef. That's heating up the Twitter sphere. Yeah.
Nothing gave me more joy than being waiting into the middle of that one.
Like
like he was going to make any difference.
Ye VB, I call it.
I couldn't help myself, you guys.
I know. Bean, look, you're absolutely right to take on Kanye. I'm looking forward to more beef. More beef.
I'm going to put out a diss track this weekend.
I can't wait to
hear your diss
track.
Please, God, do that. Please do that.
I'm not down with Ye when he says to me about the... Taylor Swift and the
Beans and Wiki
Wiki Wiki Wiki. Right, kids? Thanks. Right.
Ralph, we talked about it earlier in the hour, but you weren't on mic at the time. What do you make of him stirring up this this feud with Taylor Swift again?
Well, he's a liar. I know that. Because he's saying now, I asked Taylor Swift about it. She was fine. I asked permission to use that line in the song, and she was all good with it. She wrote it. She wrote the line. She wrote the song.
It's her idea.
She sewed my clothes. Taylor Swift's camp responding to statements West made in his track Famous about the lyrics. I feel like me and Taylor Swift might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous. Well, Kanye did contact Taylor Swift before the release of the record. However, according to Taylor, not for approval for that lyric, but to ask Taylor to release his single Famous on her Twitter account.
The song that includes those lyrics?
Yeah. That's some balls.
And she declined?
She declined.
And cautioned him about releasing a song with such strong, in her words, misogynistic lyrics.
Apparently, she only knew the first line. She was never made aware of the lyric, "I made that bitch famous," by the way.
He left that out?
He left that part out
in the pitch?
In the message.
All right. I'm gonna ask you guys this question, and this is in all seriousness, okay? Is it possible? Look, Taylor Swift was already very well known and had sold a lot of records and stuff before the thing happened with Kanye.
Nope, Kanye made her famous.
Okay, but my question is he sort of right in that Taylor Swift became known to the black community as a result of that incident with Kanye West? And it did bring more awareness to her from people who really don't follow pop or country music. Trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here that he did, in fact, expand.
I mean, why?
I'm just on his toe.
Because I'm trying to get to the truth here. Is it possible that he feels like he created more worldwide awareness for Taylor Swift than she had before because of her association with him?
Because he got up and interrupted her at that award ceremony?
And it became such a big event that everybody up to and including the president had to comment on it. I mean, it was a
If that was a byproduct of his douchebaggery, he doesn't get to claim credit for it because that was certainly not his intention, nor was it in any way in his head when he did what he did.
It wasn't his intention at all.
He's the only person that could get Ralph and I on her side.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around Swift now. I'm trying to wrap my head around what he could possibly mean. Or is it just he doesn't actually mean anything? He just knows he's pushing buttons because people will talk about him.
Or maybe
is that all it is?
He's a clueless asshole.
That's possible, too.
Well,
is that a possibility? Can you entertain that notion at all? That he is so self-involved and so with his head so far up his own place where he likes fingers that he can't even recognize reality any longer. Is he delusional in his egotism?
I think that's certainly possible.
Did Bean settle the beef?
No, the beef is ongoing. And now Swift's brother, Austin Swift.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He has entered the beef as well, posting an Instagram video, which is captioned, "Getting a head start on some spring cleaning." And he's tossing Yeezy sneakers in the trash.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, he should donate those, though.
I think you're missing the point, Allie, of what his statement is.
Bean, I think you need to get involved again.
Time for another slab of beef.
Dude, we're going to need a bigger octagon to get all these people in the fight.
Time for Bean to add some more filet mignon.
I laughed.
I don't know anything about beef, so I don't know how they work.
I laughed for 20 minutes that Bean entered that and like tried to get involved.
I was deeply offended.
Sort of set Kanye right.
You mean the woman who sold millions of records before you even met her?
His hand is on his hip right now.
Because he knows that's how Bean wrote it.
Sure.
Somehow he wrote a tweet with both hands on his hips while he was tweeting that. Like Dr. Smith from Lost in Space.
You should know better.
William. Major West. You mean the woman who sold millions of records before you even met her? You bubble-headed booby.
Bean, did you think Kanye would read that and go, you know what, he's
right.
Wow,
he makes a solid point here. I might want to retract what I said.
I couldn't stop myself, you guys. Yeah, I could. Kevin, if you saw a guy who tweeted how great the coach of the U.S. soccer team was, you wouldn't be able to resist that because that's a thing that you're passionate about, that you're protective of, that you care about. You would weigh in on that if somebody you knew put that online, right?
Somebody I knew? You don't know them.
Well, you know what I mean.
What are you talking about? If it's one of my friends, yes. If it's not, probably not.
You know what Bean is? Bean's the guy at the back of the MGM Grand during a boxing match who says, "Hit him!" And then somebody in the ring throws a punch, and he somehow thinks that's connected.
I did it. I said hit him.
I was the one who suggested the punch.
Kids?
All right. Bean, you're a shithead.
Right, kids?
So I'm a bad person for weighing in at all.
No,
I should have just ignored it.
You're insignificant.
Yes, you should have ignored
it. So you're weighing in on it is irrelevant, I think is what we're saying.
The level of your significance is not measurable, which is true of Ralph and me as well.
But I'm aware of that, and so I opt not to wade into the beef.
Right. Bean, I appreciated you sticking up for a woman in that
situation.
Thank you, Sheebe. You're welcome.
He didn't stick up for a woman. He didn't get in the middle of a bar fight and pry someone off
a
drunken
bar
cocktail
fight.
Waitress.
It was his bar fight.
There's no bar fight. He's not even in the same bar.
That's as close to a bar fight as Bean is ever going to be
in. That's what I'm saying.
I think I may have to release a diss track this week.
I hope so.
Actually, have to.
I want to hear it so bad.
I will pay. I don't know. Beans pretty cheap. Probably $100 to do it. I'll give you $100 if you'll do
I'll
it.
I'll throw in $100.
There you go. That's $200 for a diss track from you to get back in the beef.
Well, it's just that I need to fight Kanye on his own terms. You know what I mean?
Sure. Right. But okay. You're kidding, and we're saying really do it.
200 bones can be yours.
I'll throw in 100.
300 wow. bones.
Yeah.
The easiest.
I've got $20.
$320 could be yours for the making.
I don't need your money, guys.
Do it.
It's all about the honor of a good
okay,
woman.
Okay, that's funny that's and all, but do it.
And design some clothes this weekend.
Right.
Make a sweatshirt.
And then have a fashion show.
But don't let the models lie down, stand up, slouch, stand straight, look forward, down, or up, or backwards.
Right. And don't look casual either.
But add attention.
Right.
Okay.
I couldn't help myself.
That was, I so enjoyed that. I really, nothing brought me that much joy in a long time. Bean jumping in the middle of a beef with Kanye West.
Did you see my retweet? I said, Kanye's gone and done it now.
You do not want the mighty bean coming down on you.
Just open up a can of whoop-ass. He does not want any of this.
I guess I care too much.
Here comes Bean.
That's you. You're the best. Diss track.
You're rich. Today's celebrity birthdays. Christina Ricci's 36 years old today. Jesse Spencer, you know him from House? Now can be seen on Chicago Fire. We need more Chicago shows. We need more Chicago shows.
The Chicago PD.
He's got Chicago Cops.
Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire.
Cops,
Chicago
yeah.
Med.
Med, right.
Right.
There was a Chicago Hope.
There's Chicago Parking Authority. That's on.
I think that's
Chicago
new, yeah.
Post Office. There's a Chicago.
Are you just naming things
Chicago
in Chicago
bakeries?
Now?
There's a show about Chicago bakeries. We just need a lot more Chicago shows. That's what I'm saying. Right. Get on it, Dick Wolf.
Right?
Jesse Spencer's 34 years old today. Josh Brolin is 48. And Arsenio Hall.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you, Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
The people do love him, and they love that he's 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Rudy Cisneros in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, helping you out with plans for your Valentine's Day weekend. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, we're playing a song on K-Rock these days called Walking on a Dream that is immensely popular, one of the most heavily rotated songs on the playlist right now. And it has a very curious and lengthy backstory. We thought it might be fun to hear about that song and the career of a band called Empire of the Sun as they join us in studio on K-Rock right now. Hey, Luke. Hey, Nick. How are you, man?
We're very well. Thanks for having us.
What are you guys doing in Los Angeles right now? You're a long, long way from home.
Well, we moved to California a couple of years ago, and we love it here. It's wonderful.
So you're very close to home then?
Yeah, very close.
So much so it is.
Very close. And I'm in the process of trying to stay in America this morning. I got to go and get my green card. So, yeah, it's really today's day.
Just a normal Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So wait, you're coming over here taking jobs away from America. It's way to go.
So wait, so today you could be told yes and or no?
This could be the day, yeah. I'll have to tell my wife, sorry, honey. I'm going back to the kangaroos, right? You know, like that's it.
Well, let's do a refresher course on the history of Empire of the Sun. You guys have been together for how long?
It's been about 10 years now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, 10 years, and you've released two full-length albums.
Mm-hmm. That's right, yeah.
And you've had quite a bit of success. Even before this Walking on a Dream, you've had quite a bit of success in America to the point where, is this true that you sold out the Hollywood Bowl last year?
That is true.
And where are people hearing your music? How did Empire of the Sun become so well-known in America?
I think they heard it everywhere except for the radio and television. I think if you were going to stores and restaurants and bars, you would always hear it. And it was like through osmosis, the music has kind of permeated the culture of America. And finally, it's sort of reaching a kind of groundswell to the point where now we're on the radio, which is what we always wanted to be, you know.
And the song came out in 2008, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right, yeah.
And then when did you guys realize, hey, this is actually becoming something big again? Or did it grow the whole time?
I mean, I like to think it was growing the whole time.
Right, but
really, there was a Honda commercial that aired, I think, a couple of weeks ago, maybe 4 weeks ago. And I think they just slammed it on all the sports channels and I think a lot of the channels.
They played a lot, yeah. During the NFL playoffs, right?
Yeah, and my mother-in-law just kept calling me and sending me videos every time they were watching, you know, some game or something. And it just kind of started happening.
I find music that way a lot, where there's music on a commercial or a TV show or something. You just use Shazam and it tells you what it is and it just sort of...
Yeah, I think it's very democratic now, the way music comes to us, you know. I think a long time ago... ad music was just like in the background. It wasn't really a thing. And now we find out about cool stuff that way.
Absolutely. So when you made this deal with Honda last year sometime, had you done given your songs for commercials previously? Was this a difficult decision for you to make? Like some bands don't ever think they want to do that. And other bands go, oh, man, the more people hear the music, the better. I'm down.
Yeah, we're with the latter for sure. I mean, we actually when the record first came out, we had a song on a Vodafone commercial in Germany. Which is a song called We Are the People, and that took it to number one there, which was pretty cool.
Wow.
So we've always been open to the vehicle. I mean, there's a few brands we probably wouldn't...
A lot of that stuff going on right now, but... You don't see many whaling commercials anymore, do you? Now that I think about it. So now let me ask you guys this. We're talking to the gents from Empire of the Sun. Luke and Nick are in studio with us here on KROQ. This song, okay, so... What did it mean to you before it became the soundtrack to a Honda commercial? What was the song about to you guys when you wrote it and performed it?
I mean, I think it's about togetherness. And I think a lot of the songs that we write and the messages we try and put out, we always try to put out a positive message. Music for us, I think, is something that's transcendent. We're quite psychedelic. I think that comes across in the imagery and the music. We are kind of hippies in an era where maybe that sense or sensibility has been lost somewhat. But, you know, we want to put out a positive message about love and togetherness.
Now, when Honda came to you and said, we want to use that song, did you go, hey, we have a new album? It came out a couple of years ago.
You know...
Wait, you're going all the way back to the first one. I mean, it's...
Well, I guess they designed the car and called it the Dream, so
I guess it got pitched. Oh, so they needed a dream. Okay. Yeah. Right. So you're selling that song and selling that album all over again, and I'm sure it's done wonders for the second album, too, Ice on the Dune. And now you guys are in the process of putting together a third record, so they're really setting you up just beautifully.
I know. This is perfect timing. I mean, when the first album came out, it was perfect timing because we were associated with a band called MGMT, and in the UK and through Europe, we kind of were on their shoulders for a bit, and it just really helped us carry us along. And I feel like timing is something that's come and blessed us for a second time. And now we're where we really wanted to be back when we were writing this stuff at the Bong in Sydney all those years ago. And we were dreaming about the United States and began to come here. And
one day I'll be thrown out of that country for not being there legally.
One day I'm going to be on the radio and then be thrown out of the country 45 minutes later.
So what you're going to go from the passport office, they'll take you directly to LAX and walk you to a gate? Is that
yeah,
how it works?
Yeah, it's armed and, you know, they have the, like, the cuffs.
Do you have the answer? Do you know that they already said yes and that's just...
No, I don't know.
You don't
You
really
literally don't know.
How are you so calm?
Yeah, that's crazy.
What? There's nothing you can do with that. It's like, you know, coming up against like Goliath and, you know, or David rather, and there's Goliath.
Right,
and,
you know, right.
But
right.
I love Goliath. I love America. I love it. I love everything about it.
And you're going to miss us when you're on the plane at noon.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that doesn't happen. And thank you for sharing your story with us because your albums are really, really good. And look, like you said, anytime you get a chance to put your music in people's ears, you got to do it. So congratulations on the way it's all worked out. We're going to play the song again next here on the Kevin Bean Show, by the way, the song we're talking about, Walking on a Dream. And hopefully we'll see you again later this year when you got a new record out, too.
Yeah, definitely. We'd love to come back and play live on the radio sometime.
Oh, that'd be great. That would be fun. Luke, Nick, thank you so much. Empire of the Sun, you guys. Good. Thank you.
Hey, it happens to the best of us, dog. Like,
oh,
you know,
oh,
getting
Rudy
deported.
Cisneros.
Hey, Rudy, we were going to introduce you, but okay.
Oh, go ahead, fool.
Hey, everybody, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, dog?
How you
hey,
doing,
this
man?
Ain't no Rudy Huxtable either, dog.
No.
Rudy Cisneros, Boyle Heights represent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Rudy, I'm so glad you're here. It's always a pleasure to see you. We really appreciate you stopping by. And we thought it might be a great idea because you are the Latin lover. You are a
That's
known
right,
romantic.
Dog.
You know how to treat a lady.
Yes,
you
right.
You and Sad Girl been together for how long?
Damn, dog. Let me see. Like, my oldest is Carrie the One. I'm going to say like 25 years.
25 years you and Sad Girl have been together. So you obviously are getting
Did you get married when you were 10?
I'm still waiting to do the whole marriage thing, you know, by like, mm-hmm. like in the eyes of the law, but like in the eyes of like the love, you uh-huh. know, like if your heart had eyeballs, they were like, you're married, dog.
So what's the secret to keeping the romance alive, especially after a quarter century? Like, how do you still make sad girl happy? That
Why
she
is she not
you?
Happy girl yet? If you're
that
oh, good?
Like, that's a good question, dog. But like, you know, every once in a while, like I look on her back, you know, like if we're doing lovemaking. And like she has the tattoos with the drama face, and like one's smiling and one's like sad, uh-huh. and it says "laugh now, cry later." And I was thinking to myself, like, you know, as we've grown up, she's like happier more, you know. But I still can't call her happy girl because she has sad girl tattooed on her forehead.
On her forehead,
so like it's
yeah.
hard to yeah. escape mm. that kind of like marketing.
Yeah, I can okay. see that. Yeah.
So what do you do for her? How do you surprise her throughout the day, throughout the year? What will you do this Valentine's Day weekend?
Like, I'm not going to lie. You know, when you've been together, like, a long time, I know, like, Kevin and Bean, you guys are both married, you know. Like, the longer you're together, sometimes it's harder to, like, keep the excitement, you know. Uh-huh. Like, yeah. But I just remind myself, like, when, I'm sorry if I, like, tear up a little bit, dog, but, oh. like, when my back was against the wall, you know, like, there was no one else there for me. My sad girl was right there, you know, like, you know, make me breakfast, you know, like, grab me a pisto, you know what I'm saying? Give me a cerveza. And, like, you know, she would always, like,
while your back was against the wall?
Yeah, like, she would, like, I remember when she was working at Food for Less, and she would come home, and she would, like, take off her weight belt, you know, like, to protect her lumbar area from lifting boxes, dog.
Right.
And she would put on, like, a negligee or whatever, dog, and I'm like, damn. You know, that's my lady, you know, and I know she's gained a pound or 70, but like, I still look at her. I see her as like the Haina that I met
that's it beautiful.
In high
oh,
school,
sweet.
Dog, you know, like, it, and so you just got to like, remind yourself, like, maybe there's other Hainas out there that make your boner feel different, but mm-hmm. the only girl that's there for your heart and your soul and your boner is the one that you're going to be spending Valentine's with.
Okay. Now, do you have special Valentine's Day plans for Sunday?
Yeah, typically, like, you know, I barely get, like, any days off. For,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Because now I'm a manager at Jamba Juice, dog. You know?
You are?
Yeah, come by. I'll give you, like, an extra wheatgrass shot or whatever.
I didn't know that.
You know, like, but, like, I barely get any time off. And, like, when I do, I want to make sure I do special stuff. And I got this Sunday off. So, like, I'm like, hey, sad girl, you know, get down in the bubbles bath, you know, like with the bubbles.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then, like,
the bubble bath with the
yeah,
bubbles.
Yeah. And then like I slide behind her in the bubble bath and I massage uh-huh. her, dog. You know,
yeah.
and I massage her shoulders.
I don't like the motions. Okay.
You know
you're
what I'm saying,
right
Ali?
Now.
Like I massage her yeah. shoulder, I massage her like temples, dog.
Uh-huh.
And then I start singing in her ear our song, you know, like. And
what's your song?
Always and forever.
Oh, that's nice.
Each moment with you. It's just like a dream to
She's a lucky,
me
lucky girl.
That somehow came true. Because, like, heat
that's
wave.
So nice.
You know, heat wave, like, it kind of gets the ladies crazy wet, yeah. you know, like,
okay,
ready for
that's
action.
A good tip.
I think we know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
a good tip. All right. Well, listen, Rudy, since you're here and since you're so full of love on this of the most loving of weekends, would you mind if we took some phone calls from our listeners who need some help with Valentine's Day weekend?
Oh, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm Mr. Romance. If you need someone to come to like, know how to make a special Valentine's Day, it's Rudy Cisneros. So I'm right here, fool. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. If you have any questions, maybe you want to check if your Valentine's Day plans
right,
are good.
Man. Yeah, good dog, like, yeah, like, you know, run it whatever. By me. I'll tell you, like, that's dumb, dog. Or I'll be like, that. All right, I'm down with that.
That's a good idea. So if you want to call and run the gift that you have picked out for your significant other by Rudy, he can tell you. Or if you want to talk about the date that you have planned or you just need some special help on how to celebrate with your loved one, Rudy Cisneros is here. He's your man. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is next right after this. Our old friend from Boyle Heights, Rudy Cisneros, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is a big weekend for lovers, as you know. He's here with his Valentine's Day weekend tips.
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year, fool. Where we get romantic. Let your lady know you love her. Valentine's Day is a special day to get romantic. Go to a family restaurant. Let your hyena have her own entree. Instead of sharing it with that puta.
maybe massage her. And if you are in the pen, you can let your cellmate go a little bit deeper.
Oh, come on now.
Because it is a special day, and that's dope and stuff. And make hearts on your tattoos. And when your hyena starts bitching at you, do like Jesus and turn the other cheek. And maybe when she's done talking, you can have some sex and pretend that she doesn't have a hoopa. Valentine's.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you very much.
Valentine's.
We gotta move on and take some calls.
Chicken now. Valentine's.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rudy. Well done.
Let's
Valentine's. Dear God.
What's up?
That's truly Jimmy. Beautiful. He's in Canoga Park. He's on line one. He has a great question that I'm sure is running through a lot of people's minds right now as they think about the holiday.
Hey, Jimmy.
Good morning, everybody.
You're on with Rudy. What do you got?
Rudy, question.
What's up, dog?
So, you know, the women always expect the guys to buy gifts, shower them with gifts.
That's right,
but
dog.
But should we be expecting something back from them?
Like
a manly man like yourself?
That's right, dog. Like, you know, I'm all man, fool, like, I don't think that we should expect much because, Valentine's Day, like, I don't want to be chauvinistic, dog. You know,
right.
Ali, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But I'm old school. Mm-hmm. And, this is a day mostly for the ladies to be, like, appreciated,
nice.
Dog. You know? And so, like, you should definitely outdo her, but is it too much to expect, like, you know, like a new pair of Dickies? Or like a corn dog, you know, like that?
Well, I think that's
she should buy you
question.
A corn dog.
A corn dog?
You would
like,
be happy
a corn
with the
dog.
Corn dog.
I'm feeling like... You know how they say, like, half your paycheck for a wedding ring?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I say, like 4 paychecks for men's Valentine's Day gifts. You know what I'm saying? So something like a corn dog or, like, you know, like those
expensive
corn
dog. Like a fresh beanie cap?
A sick like one, dog, like, with, like, LA on it, but, like, it's made with the skeleton hands, you know, instead of, like,
okay.
normal.
Yes.
Like, something
exactly.
like that. That's a good idea, dog. Or, like, you know, you could get, like, okay. Something really dope,
calls.
like you know those toys Transformers. You know, like
right.
the 99-cent store,
sure.
you get
yeah.
like Flansformers, or like G.R. Joe. You know, like it's just a little bit different, so it's a little
okay.
less expensive.
Yeah,
dog.
A knockoff.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
generic,
thank you,
generic
thank you,
medication
Jimmy, for the call.
Or
appreciate that. All right, let's go to Anaheim, please. Line 6. This is going to be Johnny. He has a question. I think that is right up your alley here, Rudy.
Hey, Johnny.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
Hey Rudy, I'm hoping you can help me out here. My wife lost her dad about a year ago.
Where'd he go?
I think he means he passed away.
Oh, he went to the other side. Hey, God, I'm going to pour out a little for him, dog. R.I.P.
Hey, so that being said, she's had a pretty rough year. And I want to do something special for Valentine's this year. She's Mexican, so what advice do you have? What can I give her that would really, really be meaningful to her?
All right. Like, there's two things. Like on the top of the list, of things you can buy a Mexican, let mm-hmm. me tell you right now.
Okay.
Cilantro, Raiders stuff, and a lottery ticket. Like, if you like, tape those three together.
That's the big three.
You're gold, dog.
That's okay. That's the best.
Cilantro,
yeah.
Raiders tickets, and what was the other one?
And like a big spin lottery ticket, dog. Like, you know, one of the bigger ones, a lotto.
Like Powerball or
yeah,
something?
Whatever. You know, I don't buy them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so put those three together, Johnny.
Yeah.
Good luck.
There you go. You can't lose. Lewis writes in, by the way. He also wants to know if it's okay for him to take his hyena to the Santa Fe Springs swap meet for happy hour and some menudo. How's that sound
that's,
for Valentine's
that
Day?
Sounds like a perfect day to me. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Maybe go get some cockfighting videos. You know what that
one? Well,
my
I don't
Pablo,
think we
want to
no,
he sells
support
them
that.
Maybe like a belt with like a dope horse buckle.
All right. Let's try Tyrone is calling us from Upland. He's on line 2. He's up next again. Valentine's Day weekend. Rudy Cisneros is here. He's got your tips to make the holiday really pop. Tyrone, you're on the air with Rudy. Go ahead.
Morning, guys.
What's up, Tyrone?
Tyrone, I just wanted to she thought.
Oh, I got to say, Tyrone does not sound like I thought he would.
We're having
Hello,
trouble
guys.
Here.
Hello, guys. I'm Tyrone.
We're having trouble hearing your phone, Tyrone. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I was wondering what you thought I should get my partner. We've been together for about 2 years, and he get him something really special this year.
Oh, okay. So, all right. So he has a boyfriend, Rudy. What's your advice for him for Valentine's Day?
All right, dog. You know what you should get? Like, your boyfriend, you should get him a tattoo. Okay, like you pay for it in advance, and then you go down, you see your artist, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you find like an area on his body that's really like sensual, you know, for you. You know what I'm saying? And then you get right there, you get a picture of yourself, but like it's your face on the Virgin Mary of Guadalupe, and you're on a candle, dog, and the candle's melting, and then the candle's melting into Al Davis.
That does sound spectacular.
You should be like, this is how much I love you, dog.
Tyrone, call us back and let us know how that goes.
Happy Valentine's Day to you all.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. You don't know their names, but you should, because they wrote the Deadpool movie in theaters today. And have you seen the reviews of this thing, Ralph? Have you seen the raves of Deadpool?
Audiences and critics alike are just saying it's awesome.
The superhero movie we didn't know we needed so much is finally here. So very exciting story to hear how it finally made it to the big screen. We'll talk to those guys coming up right after 9. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Friday morning. What's going on?
The boys are in the next room. We'll be talking to them next. Paul and Rhett, of course, also created Joe Schmo.
That's right.
And we worked together on 1 and 2. And I'm just so excited for their success. And I know they're successful because they came in and they had no idea who I am.
Oh, sweet.
No idea.
That's pretty sweet.
They didn't recognize me. The name recognition, there was no spark in their
eyes. I don't
eyes.
Believe
nothing,
that.
Nothing.
I don't believe
you were the whole... Just dead stares. They were like, and what do you do here? And I said, I'm on the air with Kevin and Bean. They're like, oh... In what capacity do you are you a technician? They had no idea.
They never met you before.
Never met me.
Huh?
See, well, it's going to be quite a touching reunion. Then,
it's Hollywood bigwigs.
That's how I know they're successful, because they have just mind wiped anything that happened before their massive success as Hollywood screenwriters.
I was wondering why you weren't in Zombieland and you don't appear to be in Deadpool.
Apparently, they don't think I exist.
Hmm.
That's the problem. Okay. $12.7 million last night is what Deadpool made. Biggest opening for an R-rated film on a Thursday night ever. So, love to those boys. I don't know how to feel about this. I'm excited for Tom and Tony and Adrian, but yes. I'm a little surprised by the fourth member of this band.
Mm-hmm.
The Tom, Tony, and Adrian I'm referring to, of course, are Tom Dumont, Tony Cannell, and Adrian Young of No Doubt fame. They have apparently joined up forces with Davey Havoc of AFI to form a new supergroup. So No Doubt apparently is, at least set aside for the time being, on a hiatus. And Gwen's off doing her solo thing. So these guys got together. And the story is that they've already recorded an album. They're searching for a label deal. And they have not revealed the name of this group yet.
Okay.
Bro Doubt.
Road Out.
Did you say Road Out?
I said Bro Doubt.
Bro Doubt.
Bro Doubt. Like No Doubt, but
right,
with
but with
bros.
A dude.
Bro Doubt.
That's not terrible.
I don't hate it.
Once we finally understood it, it wasn't terrible.
It's good. It's like the wonders in that thing you do.
Right,
you have to kind
yeah.
of, no, it's is that O-Neater? No, it's the wonder. Wonders.
I thought I said it out loud. I thought it could be understood. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, I hope that she comes back to the group, No Doubt, and they do some more. But I'm excited to hear this as well.
I have too. I love Davey. I love him as a person, as an artist. I'm very excited to hear this music.
Bean is still in the midst of a beef with Kanye West. We're following that very closely. Has he responded to you yet, Bean, with your vicious Twitter attack on Kanye?
You know what? I don't think he spotted my tweet out of the million he probably received yesterday, the rollout of Yeezy Season 3, so no.
But just in case, you made sure and sent it, right? You put it out there.
Oh, I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I let my feelings be known.
Good.
I'm not going to stand for this.
You mean with all the millions of records he sold before you even met her? Kanye West?
Look.
Hello?
He was trying to claim credit for making Taylor Swift famous.
Right.
That's what I was responding to.
Right, but most of us look at that or hear it and we go, okay, that's stupid. And then we go about our business. We do whatever we're doing for that day.
I couldn't let it stand.
You couldn't let that stand.
It was in reference to his new song, Famous, off of his brand new album, The Life of Pablo. Here are the lyrics. I feel like me and Taylor Swift... I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous.
Hmm.
Well, Taylor's brother Austin
also made his displeasure known online. Didn't quite create the ripples that, that Bean's tweet did, but he did post an Instagram video that was captured getting a head start on some spring cleaning. And in the video, he's tossing his Yeezy sneakers in the trash.
Oh, no, he
isn't.
That's
going to hurt Kanye right where he lives, man.
Right.
Just throw away those Yeezy sneakers.
Oh, here we go. It's on.
Yep.
Race war.
I don't know if it's a race war.
Race war's on, everybody.
I don't believe
it's going down. It's going down.
I don't
think. Come on. Race war.
I don't think.
Now, I do have an update for you just in the last few minutes from Kanye West's Twitter account, Ralph, if you're interested.
I would love it.
He has added, he's still tinkering with the track list on Life
tinkering.
Of Pablo.
Okay.
Yes.
He's
he has added more tracks to it, including No Parties in L.A., which was one of the songs from a couple weeks ago that we were surprised wasn't on the album yesterday. He says he is mastering it this morning, and it will be out later today.
Well, that's got to be good work. That's got to be at its finest. If
no,
just...
no, that's the best way to make a record is to rush it out.
Yeah, you want to like... You want to have to blow your in your hands and like toss it around because it's too hot off the press. That's how you enjoy art.
Did he end that tweet with "I'm sorry, Bean, you were right"? Or anything?
He hasn't made it. He hasn't responded yet to my throwdown. But the Life of Pablo apparently will be out and available later today.
You can say "I apologize" or anything like that. Jeez. Nothing. No response at all.
So he claims that Taylor Swift not only approved of the lyric, but that it was her idea.
Right.
That's what you were telling us earlier.
And the response from Taylor's camp was he did contact her, but it wasn't for approval for the lyric. He called her to ask Taylor to release that single on her Twitter account to help promote it. And she declined from what they say. And it should be really, I feel like Taylor and I... still might have sex, right? Not me and Taylor. That's just right there.
I was saving that for my diss track. I was going to point
that
out.
His diss track. Bean's doing a diss track this weekend.
I don't think I like your grandma. Save the drama for your mama. Can't wait.
We can only hope.
Diss track. It's going to be great. All right. I'm out of time. Let me hit you with the celebrity birthdays. DeMarco Murray, running back for the Philadelphia Eagles, celebrates his birthday today. Woo! 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 I gained more yards coming from the office into this studio than he did the whole season, I think. He's 28 years old today. Christina Ricci. She's 36 years old. Jesse Spencer. Remember him from House? He was the dreamy Australian.
Sure. He's so dreamy.
Now he plays a dreamy guy from Chicago on Chicago Fire. He's 37. Josh Brolin can be seen currently in the new Hail Caesar movie. 48 years old. And television talk show host, comedian, beloved icon, Arsenio Hall.
Ooh, ooh. Arsenio Hall is here. Looking good.
Looking good.
Pete's got that whole interview.
He's got fashion sense now. Hey, looking good.
I love that sweater and parachute pants.
All right. Hey, great to see you again. Welcome back, man.
It's a pleasure, man. Y'all keep rocking, okay?
Thank you. Arsenio Hall, folks. The people love him.
All right. Maybe the people don't.
I'm just curious. Did you take his advice to heart and keep rocking all these years? Have you been following
in your advice? Look, you've been on the show for a long time, Ralph. In your opinion, do we continue to keep rocking?
Yes, we do.
You rock hard.
Don't pull me into this. I make plenty of mistakes on my own. This is yours.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's not just a Valentine's Day weekend. It's not just President Day weekend. It's Deadpool Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the day the movie we have been waiting for is finally in theaters. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, they wrote the goddamn movie, and they join us on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Well, you're swearing like Deadpool. You didn't waste any time.
I couldn't help it, man. I'm in the mode now that I've seen this trailer. Ralph, you and your friends go back a long ways.
Yeah, back in the, I guess it was the early 1970s we started working together first.
Wow.
It was the Joe Schmo Show, which was back when Paul and Rhett were working in television, which now they refuse to acknowledge. So apparently they've always been film writers. But
what is this television thing you speak?
There was a time.
Is that too small a medium for
yes,
them?
Yes, exactly. They're big time now.
I see.
But they created a show called The Joe Schmo Show, which the premise was it was a spoof of reality television where one person thought they were actually on a reality show, and the rest of the show was populated by improvisational actors who were basically putting on a play for one, an audience of one.
And we fooled this guy into believing he was on a real show until the end where we revealed it and then gave him a big check hoping he wouldn't kill us.
And Ralph was a genius.
I totally remember that.
But the host was weak.
The host was
actually Ralph, Kevin. What? Yeah, Ralph Garman.
It was the highest rated
British
show.
Guy.
Highest rated show in Spike history. And then we did a second one that very few people saw. And then we did a third people who even less people saw. So it's okay.
Which one
returns?
Which one had the Falcon? I love that one.
That was the second one.
That was two.
So I was the only one that watched
it. Yes, you were, but we appreciate your support.
The Falcon has spoken. Ralph is actually a Falconer now. I am.
I have several Falcons at home. Yes. Of course, still lives with me. But then they went on to this career. They had Zombieland, one of our favorite movies.
Oh, Zombieland was so good.
And now Deadpool. I'm so honored and thrilled for these guys that they have gone on to such amazing work. And Deadpool is the crowning achievement so far, I would think, right, guys?
Well, it was certainly our passion project, and I think we're probably prouder of it than anything we've ever done. So, except for Joe Schmo, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
All right, most so fun we've ever had, actually, Joe Schmo.
Yeah,
really?
True.
Oh, that's
they
cool.
Will always be.
Yeah,
that's nice.
Me too,
so,
I think.
So, Deadpool, you know, for folks who are casual comic book fans, and of course they know the big names, the Batmans and the Supermans, and you know maybe even the Ironmans, but Deadpool, I mean, it's a way more recent cartoon comic, right? It's only from the 90s. Something you were always intent on bringing to the big screen, or no?
Well, we fell in love with it, but we didn't know even who Deadpool was until the open writing assignment came across our desk as screenwriters, and we did our research in a hurry. And after a weekend of reading comics 24/7, I guess that's not a weekend. 7 days would make an entire week.
Yeah, it's 24/7.
24/2.
24/2.
Which isn't even a phrase.
It is now.
24/7 is a terrible weekend.
That really is. But anyway, we fell so in love with the character that by the end of the weekend, we said, we have to be the ones to write this. And we passionately pursued it. And Ryan Reynolds hired us. So
now, for those who aren't familiar with the process, what you mean is they put out an open call to screenwriters and saying that we're thinking of developing this project, come in and pitch your take on it to us? Is that what 20th Century Fox did?
And then we dance like monkeys.
We audition just like actors, really. I mean, it's not too different.
So that's you tell them what your vision of the movie would be if you did it?
Exactly. Hmm. We pitched it from the first scene to the last scene, and Ryan ended up hiring us, which was just, it was wonderful.
And this was a character that had appeared before in a standalone Wolverine movie, and Ryan had played that, right?
Correct. And they didn't do a great job. Well, okay, they did a terrible job.
They did, yeah. and comic fans were outraged, really, at the treatment of the character.
They were, because it was just not at all faithful. It was ridiculous. They sewed his mouth shut. That's his defining characteristic, is his mouth, his motor mouth. And they sewed his mouth shut. So we had a very low bar to clear.
What is it that made you fall in love with the Deadpool character over that weekend?
Well, he's just a self-deprecating, you know, self-loathing, egomaniacal nutbag, and they say write what you know. So
he does hate himself as much as he hates everyone else, but he's also very, very funny, which I think was why you guys probably shined in the moment, is because you're pretty funny guys.
And he's probably the funniest of all the comic book characters.
I think so.
And so we just honored that. We really went for the comedy in almost every moment. It's certainly a more emotional film than you'd think, but the jokes come fast and often.
Those are the best kinds.
Even as you guys were developing this film and it was in the works, there wasn't a lot of momentum behind it per se. And then this test footage leaked on the internet. And that's when...
Leaked in quotes, right,
right.
Ralph?
Well,
I don't think to this day anyone really knows who's responsible.
It's like a game of Clue. There are about 8 suspects, and it's like Colonel Mustard in the dining room with a candlestick. We think, well, I don't know. I have my doubts, but I Ryan may be the guy who did it.
Okay.
I'm going to, whoa, how about that?
Whoa.
Accusing a major celebrity of committing
awesome.
A crime.
Oh, it's a shame you won't be working at Deadpool 2. That's a shame, Rhett.
I'm just going to suggest, why wouldn't you guys put that out there to try and
get
some
interest?
Well,
you're not supposed to leak footage, Kevin. It's
not
done.
But you're saying it was stalling and there wasn't a lot of backing and stuff, right?
We have emails back and forth saying, how do we leak this? Like, we were talking about dropping a...
Oh, you're
DVD.
Trying to figure
yeah,
out how
we,
to do
we're
it?
We're so technologically unsavvy.
I can't work my thermostat. So, yeah, like you can imagine trying to leak it without some kind of digital paper trail that would lead right to us.
So I understand then. So footage was shot of Ryan in the Deadpool costume reading your words as if it were a scene in the movie. And that wasn't enough to get the powers that be to say, hey, this is great. Let's make the movie?
It was not enough. It just, it was shocking. But I think it was that R rating and that really edgy side to Deadpool. It just scared them. And they have to protect their X-Men franchise, which is obviously keeps the lights on over at Fox.
Those two things make me want to go see it.
Well, good.
The fact that it's rated R,
but
the
reaction
and
of people on the internet once it did see the light of day was enormous, was tremendous. I think that's what gave probably the Fox the confidence to say, yeah, we should go ahead with it.
Yeah, the fans just fell in love with it and really just beat down Fox's door and said, you have to make this. And it really was the fans that brought this thing to life. And that's so rewarding for us.
How many years are we talking between the first draft to what we're seeing now?
6.5 years.
Wow.
And we wrote a draft of the script in every calendar year from 2009 to 2016.
How different?
It didn't change that much.
Really?
We did write a PG-13.
2011 was the best.
That was the best draft.
You should have gone back with that one.
Yeah, I know. If only. We did write a PG-13 version at one point. Yeah.
Thinking that maybe that's the only way to...
Yes, exactly. Mm. We knuckled under, and then thankfully we never used it. It was pretty weak.
There was some talk, though, at the end even of this incarnation, right, of maybe doing some editing and making it under the wire just a little bit. I mean, I think once they committed to R,
yeah, they gave us the keys to the sports car and said, just smash it up, it's fine.
it's so funny, you know, I always think of Hollywood as being so glamorous, but if you take all the hours that you guys put into writing this movie, you made about $6.50 an hour. it's not a gold mine, is it, when you put 6.5 years into writing a movie?
It's true. It's brutal.
Yeah, right. Wow, you really brought down the ring there.
That took a turn.
I'm making minimum wage here.
I was pausing to think how you get the last laugh after this weekend when they come begging you to make Deadpool 2. You're going to be fine, all right? Yeah. We got to take a quick break. Rhett Reese is here along with Paul Wernick, who I don't trust because he's not on Twitter. So is he even a real person?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about Deadpool in theaters everywhere today. Go see it. We'll be right back on K-Rock. Writers and executive producers for Deadpool in theaters everywhere today. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick are in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show. That's this movie we're talking about.
You've recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer.
We can fight this.
What if I told you we can cure you and give you abilities most men only dream of?
I'd say that you sound like an infomercial, but not a good one, like Slap Chop, more shake weighty.
But you still think we're making you a superhero. We're making you a super slave.
Whatever they did to me made my body indestructible. But my face...
Now...
Look at me.
No,
look at it.
No, I don't want to.
Exactly.
We tried to compliment you guys on some of the jokes in that scene where Ryan Reynolds is talking about how disfigured he looks. And every line we complimented him on, you said you didn't write. So what's really going on here?
You guys were on the set every day, right, when they were making this?
Every single day, yeah.
And there was a lot of improvisation going on with those guys?
TJ
Miller
was.
And Ryan?
Yeah, TJ and Ryan specifically. Not every actor is comfortable in for improvising, but those two just adore it, and they're tremendous at it.
We called TJ Benjamin Button because at the end of every scene he would button something new. It was great.
And that has to be such a weird feeling for you to spend so much time writing a script that you think is just right, and then you get in there and the actors just throw it up in the air.
We love it, you know, because actors bring a piece of themselves to the part, and they elevate our words, and that's just thrilling to watch.
And you guys come from a background where
exactly,
you know,
we've staked our
entire
career on great improvisers like Ralph and Kristen Wiig and these guys, so we're used to taking credit for other people's work.
Now, I don't know how it works on a lot of movies, but is it uncommon for the writers to be on set while the thing is being filmed?
It's pretty uncommon, but we had a director in Tim Miller who was very inclusive and really invited extra input, and we have a great working relationship with Ryan, and he likes when we put lines under his nose before a scene, new lines, so he can try them out. So it was all about the people. It was all about the people.
It looks like it's the most fun movie of the year. It just looks like it must have been just so much fun on the set.
It was great. It was great. The craft services was delicious.
Good food.
I put on about 20 pounds. So.
I do think when everyone on a set is laughing, that's a pretty good sign. And,
yeah.
And they were on our set. So.
And Ryan Reynolds is unbelievably charming, too. Unbelievably so.
He makes me want to cut myself.
really does.
That's how you really feel, right?
Yeah, he's better looking than we are. He's smarter. He's funnier.
That's
he's
okay,
a better
though.
Writer.
You don't have to
he's
cut
kinder.
Yourself. That's okay.
You're right.
I agree with
I
you.
Thank
I thought
you.
It was great that he let you guys take some shots at the Green Lantern in the film, which is pretty self-effacing. You know?
It was a little bit of therapy for him. You know, he was laying down on the couch and getting his feelings out. I think the self-deprecating nature really makes you fall in love with the character and Ryan himself.
But it's great Easter egg stuff too for fanboys who go in to see this stuff and see that kind of thing.
Lots of Easter eggs. I think there's over 100 Easter eggs in the movie. Actually,
wow.
Actual Easter eggs.
Yeah.
These are actual colored eggs.
Oh, there's a scene at the White House where the president is laying out Easter eggs. I see. Okay.
If you find all the eggs, I think you win a popcorn.
Yeah,
there's
$100 in one of the pink eggs if you find it.
So, guys, have you seen the film in a theater with a paying audience
We
yet?
Just did last night, and that was
and tell
a
me about
blast.
That.
There were people in costume. In,
no way.
Yeah, believe it or not.
That was red, actually, in costume.
But there was a couple of dudes who stood up at one point and were clapping, giving it a standing ovation during the middle of the movie. You're like, sit down! You're insane!
That also was Rhett and Paul.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Were there any surprises with the crowd? Like sometimes they laughed at something that you didn't think was all that funny, or you thought something was great and they didn't really laugh?
Yeah, absolutely, both, yes. There's one joke. It's not really even a joke.
There was a non-joke about Ajax, the villain naming himself after a dish soap. And it's really not funny. The crowd goes crazy for it.
I don't even think Ajax is a dish soap.
Not anymore.
No, it's like something you scour
it's
with.
It's a cleanser.
It's a cleanser. Yeah. Yeah. It's a cleanser. Yeah.
So the audience went crazy, and you were looking at each other like,
what is going on?
And they've gone crazy every single time. We've seen it with audiences probably about 10 times.
Yeah, with research screenings included. And yeah, it's just weird. And then other lines that we thought would kill, just crickets chirp. It's very strange.
Rhett's making notes during the add more cleaning jokes.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
So
well, comet. Here comes the comet.
Turned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, the Palmolive. Bring on the Palmolive.
That's a good callback right there.
Ralph came in earlier and said what, Ralph? That it set a record for R-rated Thursday night screenings?
Yeah, early opening screening for Thursday night. It set $12.7 million. It's a record for an R-rated film.
So what's your expectation for this holiday weekend, you guys, for Deadpool?
We don't know. Forbes magazine was trying to predict, and they said, oh, it'll open between $50 million and $127 million. And we were like, what? That's not a prediction. Yeah, that's like the cable guy's window when he comes to your house. You can't bank on that.
That's a frustrating part of it to me, because I'll go to a movie and love it, and then they'll say, oh, it only made $50 million. It didn't make $65 million.
Right. Like that's a disappointment.
Like $50 million is great.
I know. We're worried about those expectations. Yeah, they're frightening.
The great thing is we made this movie for a very small budget. You know, Ryan jokes that they made this the budget on this movie was less than the laser hair removal budget on most superhero movies.
But so I think it's a great weekend because your competition is different. I mean, there's movies out there, but there's nothing really for people who want to see Deadpool. That's the only game in town. They're not going to say, "Oh, I'm going to go see Michael Moore's documentary instead of Deadpool." I think you guys are in
great
shape.
He's got a new documentary.
He's got a new documentary out this weekend. Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, well, Zoolander's out there, which scares us a little bit. But.
Yeah, but that's a very different audience, I think.
I think
because,
so.
Because, you know, that's stupid funny. Yours is smart funny, and the action looks good. It just looks...
Yeah. It looks like a winner, guys.
Plus
congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Plus Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
He takes his shirt off, guys.
Oh, yeah.
And his underpants.
What?
He takes his underpants off. Full frontal.
I'm in.
Is Marina Baccarin take her top off at any point?
She does.
Oh!
Say no more. Hey, what did you guys think of the Betty White endorsement of the film? And then did you have anything to do with that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think that came as the result of her relationship with Ryan. They're super tight after the proposal. Remember? They did the proposal.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Do you mind if I play a little bit of that? Because I think it's very funny.
Please do.
And she is how old? She's in her 90s
94,
now, right?
94, maybe?
94,
is that right?
Yeah.
Listen to what America's sweetheart Betty White has to say about the movie. These guys wrote Deadpool.
Hello. I just saw the most anticipated movie of the year. Deadpool. It was glorious. Once in a generation, a movie comes along that your whole family will love. If your family is a f***ed up group of kissing inbreds. Plus, Ryan Reynolds looks so f***ing handsome in his red leather suit. I give it 4 Golden Girls. It's the best picture of the year. So, go see Deadpool this Friday.
Come on, if Betty White's in, I'm in.
That was the greatest.
The film is out now on foxmovies.com or Deadpool Movie on Twitter if you want to follow on the social media. Rhett, Paul, so great to meet you guys. Thank you so much for coming in and congratulations.
Thank you so much for having us.